May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Now, our lessons today, if you've been sort of tracking along with the readings from the last several Sundays, we've been hearing from the prophets. We've heard from the prophet Amos. We have heard from the prophet Isaiah. And today, I'd say we hear from Jeremiah, but really we hear the story of Jeremiah hearing from God. This is the passage where God calls Jeremiah to be a prophet. And in this beautiful, hopeful declaration, God says to Jeremiah, "Before you were formed in the womb, I knew you. I, in fact, am the one who has been forming you, and I have a job for you. I've been forming you for the job. I am sending you as a prophet to the nations." And of course, Jeremiah, as did Isaiah when God called him, said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." God purged him. When God came to Amos and said, "I want you to prophesy," Amos said, I'm a farmer. I trim fig trees. I'll give you what to say." When God called Moses at the burning bush, Moses said, I stammer. I can't speak. God says, "I will heal that through your brother Aaron." When Jeremiah says, "Behold, I'm just a child," God says, "Don't worry about that, because I'll give you what to say." And I'm appointing you today as a prophet to nations to dethrone and to raise up, to rip out by the roots and to plant new. That's a pretty stout vocation when it comes to the nations. Now, I don't know that anybody in this congregation has ever been given a vocation to overthrow a government. If you were in the CIA at some point, don't tell me. So what does Jeremiah have to do with you and me? I do believe much. First of all, do we believe that the God who personally knew the forming, the growing infant Jeremiah in his mother's womb does not know us just as deeply? You think God only is involved in his creation if they're important people? God knew Abraham? Sure. God knew Moses? Yeah, good. God doesn't know me. Well, that's not much of a God. If God is intimately part of his creation, intimately involved in his creation, intimately responsive to his creation, what he says about knowing Moses and knowing Abraham and knowing Jeremiah is also true of you. He knew you as you were being formed in your mother's womb. Because, like Jeremiah, he had a vocation for you. He has, present tense, a calling for you. He has something for you to do. Now, maybe it's not to pluck up nations and to plant kingdoms, as it was for Jeremiah. But when I say to you, God has a vocation for you, God formed you for that vocation, how many of me, will throw up some kind of a roadblock and say, "I'm not qualified, I don't know enough, nobody will listen to me," or we will just use Jeremiah's words, "I'm just a youth"? I know I've told this story before, but I'll tell it again. One of my parishioners in a previous church, After preaching a sermon regarding the fact that at some point after our baptism, we need to start becoming givers of grace rather than just consumers of grace. We need to become teachers and examples and mentors to others and various other things that we do. Came to me after the service and said, "Some of us don't really understand the faith well enough to be leaders and teachers." And I said to her, "You were baptized 72 years ago right there. How much longer do you want?" before you take on responsibility for being a provider of the church rather than just a consumer. But we roadblock. But God is able to overcome all of those. He's desirous to overcome them, in fact, because he teaches us lessons when he overcomes our resistance. It's a wonderful phrase. I don't know the source of it. God does not call the qualified. He qualifies the called. I don't give God a resume and say, look, God, I deserve to be a priest. No, I don't give him a resume. He calls somebody who's a complete moron and teaches them how to do the job. He overcomes these things, and we learn his grace and his love in the process of him overcoming our weakness. I'm but a youth, Jeremiah says, and God says, don't worry about that, because I will give you wisdom beyond your years. I will give you strength far beyond your weakness. I will give you confidence far beyond your fear. So he knows you and has been forming you for some vocation. And well, it's our natural response to resist that. He will overcome it, and his overcoming of it will be known to us as his grace and love. Now, here's probably the part where we find the greatest disconnect with Jeremiah, and that is, he set him to pluck up and plant nations and kingdoms. Not part of my living experience. Not there. Don't live there. Don't run in those circles. But there is a kingdom, or two kingdoms, I'd say rather. One that needs to be uprooted and one that needs to be planted and nurtured. And to understand them, I want to look at our gospel story today. In the story, Jesus goes to the synagogue, as he usually did, and there's a woman who for the last 18 years has been crippled. And he sees her, and in his mercy, he says, I'm releasing you from this bondage. He lays his hands on her, she stands upright and begins to praise God. And the response of the leadership in the synagogue is, you people, you're supposed to work on 6 days. You're not supposed to do work on the Sabbath. So don't come and ask him to do work on the Sabbath. You're breaking the rules. And Jesus, who had the ability to cut right through the problem to the root of the question so well, says, you, don't you have a donkey? Well, yeah. Don't you untie it and lead it to the water trough on the Sabbath day? So you've made an exception for your donkey, but you won't make exception for a daughter of Abraham? What kind of hypocrite are you? And, you know, they dared not ask him any more questions. How many times when it comes to our doing and keeping of the just the basic Ten Commandments, how many times when it comes to our keeping of those sort of ritual things like fasting and keeping, doing our daily prayers, when it comes to things where I know so-and-so did that because I heard in town that, fill in the blank. We, like the leaders of the synagogue, are far more willing to condemn someone else but make an exception for me. That's our tendency, right? Well, you know, it's an expensive donkey. I need to take care of myself. But we're going to make sure that those things in which I make an exception, that I didn't have to obey, I didn't have to be devout. You know, really, there wasn't going to be a better sunrise than there was that Sunday morning. So I went to take pictures instead of go to church. There's an exception for me. But, you know, everybody else really ought to show up to church more often. Really? What we're doing when we act that way is we are building up the kingdom and the importance and the value of self and tearing down the kingdom of God in someone else. We are lenient on ourselves. We make exceptions for ourselves in that we hold everybody else's feet to the fire. That's the kingdom of self that by the Holy Spirit, God has called you to uproot it out of your own heart. Uproot the kingdom of self. And what kingdom are you to plant and nourish? The kingdom of God. By giving grace and forgiveness to others. When I have the kingdom of myself firmly rooted in me, I can do anything I want because I've got a justification for it. But when it comes to tending the kingdom of God, I'm going to do everything I can to shove you out because it makes me look better. Uproot the kingdom of self out of your own heart and plant the kingdom of God in the community in which you live. Nourish it. This is exactly the call of Jeremiah on you. By knowing you, by placing you in a particular context, in a particular family, in a particular neighborhood, in a particular parish church, God is saying, this is where I want you to plant my kingdom and tend my people. This is where I want you to grant grace and forgiveness to their failings, and in doing so, let them experience my love. But look at yourself. Make sure you are devout. Make sure you are holy. Make sure you are keeping the disciplines you have committed to. I'm not going to give you a list of things that God says you have to do. I don't mean that. But if you ever hear me talk about fasting, I think fasting is a good idea. It's been revered by the holy people of God for thousands of years. And if I tell you that I try to keep the fast before church on Sunday until I receive Holy Communion, I mean it. I'm not going to get on to you for not doing it. I should be far more harsh on myself. I should be far more disciplined in my examination of my conscience than I ever am of what you do. If I begin to get angry at a situation, at a person, and I start to grumble in my heart, and I begin to entertain angry thoughts, selfish thoughts, lustful thoughts, I should confess that as a sin, that my mind and my heart have moved in that direction, even if I never took action on it, never said a word. But if someone in the Christian community, someone in my experience, angers me, assaults me, offends me, injures me in some way, I should forgive them that, rather than giving myself a pass and holding a grudge against them. The kingdoms should be reversed. I should uproot the kingdom of self, which we tend to love to care for, and plant and care for the kingdom of God, which we would tend to ignore and to push away. God has given you the opportunity by the Holy Spirit, by the same call and knowledge he had of Jeremiah. I knew you before I formed you in the womb. I have called you. I have given you the wisdom of the Holy Spirit to overcome your own folly. I have given you the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome your weakness, to uproot from yourselves the kingdom of self and to plant the kingdom of God. When we read Jeremiah, we often find no connection because none of us feel like we're one of the prophets. None of us feel like we have been given the authority to uproot the kingdoms and to plant new, to tear down and to build up. But I tell you, because of the kingdom of self, which we all inherit, and the kingdom of God, which he wants us to inherit and live in, you, in fact, are Jeremiah. Amen.